Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Thanksgiving meditation, application to our daily thankful life, is found recorded in Paul's letters of Romans, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, for whom we are ever thankful people, dear fellow redeemed, our society has become an I want what's coming to me society. We see it in the sports stars signing their megabuck contracts, 10 years for $25 million a year. And the sports star says, I only want what I deserve. I want what's coming to me. We see it in our unions, who go on strike at the detriment of the company. And they say, we only want what we feel is fair. We only want what's coming to me. We even hear it in ourselves when we complain about the weather, our illnesses, financial hardships, troubles and trials, as if we deserve better. And we're saying, I only want what's coming to me, like everybody else. This evening from our text from the Apostle Paul, he encourages us Christians to thank God we don't get what's coming to us. If God would give us what's really coming to us, then we'd have no peace, no happiness, no joy, no future. We'd be like Adam and Eve immediately after the fell into sin, filled with fear and terror of God, blaming one another for all of our problems. Our life would be filled with terrible suffering and pain and failures and endless frustrations, argument, bitterness, strife, hatred, disease, death, and eternal damnation. If God gave us what was coming to us. For the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 2 of the book of Romans, verse 1, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. When unbelievers who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior thank God, they really don't know the God whom they're thanking, nor do they really know what God really did for them. When proud, arrogant men stand up to give God thanks, they're like the Pharisees in the temple who say, thank you, God, for being good to me because I have been so good to you and to others. That's kind of the problem that the Apostle Paul was facing when he wrote this letter to the Romans. Those of us who know about this letter of Paul to the Romans maybe remember that the end of chapter 1, Paul ended with a whole list of vile evils of godless people. He said the godless people don't honor the Creator, instead they honor the creatures, themselves, and animals. And that leads them to all kinds of sins. Lust and sexual sins with members of their own sex, murder, pride, disobedience. And then Paul lists a whole bunch of things. They become God-haters, unloving, unmerciful, unforgiving, and they defend the rights of others to practice the same kind of immorality that they do. Sounds like Paul is living in our day, doesn't it? Paul then begins chapter 2 with a rebuke against those who condemn such people like that, but don't apply these same words to themselves. Those are the Pharisees of Paul's day. And Paul knew them very well, because he had been one of them at one time. And these words also apply to any of us who look at all these ungodly people around us and say, "Oh, I'm sure glad I'm not like one of them. I'm sure better than those sinners are." We read in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 of Romans, "But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you'll escape the judgment of God?" We too have been guilty of many of the same things that were listed there in the end of chapter 1. We've been unloving. We've been unforgiving. We've been unmerciful. We've been disobedient. We've been proud. We've murdered others, maybe not in deed, but in thoughts and words. We've been guilty of sexual immorality, maybe not in deed, but in thought. Thank God. Thank God we don't get what's coming to us. But Paul knows how skillful we are excusing ourselves and evading the law that condemns us. Every person considers himself to be kind of a unique and exception to the rule. My sins aren't as bad as other sins because, well, they're my sins. And my good works are so good that I can stand before God. I'll just look at somebody else that's far worse than me and say, well, I'm ahead of him at least. Better than that person is. That's simply irrational egotism or proud foolishness. But Paul knows it's in the heart of every single person to think of themselves better than others. It's a heart that either assumes that God can't see into the heart and know what's going on, or it assumes God can see into the hearts of all other hearts, but can't see into mine. Or, as Paul says, his attempt at evading God's justice is despising God's grace, despising His goodness, His forbearance, and His long-suffering towards sinners. In other words, they see that God's patient with sinners, and He's loving towards sinners, and therefore He must tolerate sin. He must condone sin, and therefore they feel safe and secure in their sins. Thank God that we know we receive God's goodness. Literally, the word goodness here means kindness of heart. It's a beautiful word. It's a kindness that is an action. A kindness expressing itself in deeds. So this is a goodness which is expressed to someone in grace. It's expressed to us in tenderness. It's expressed to us in compassion. And boy, does that describe our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. You find that same word in at least two other places of Paul's writings. In Ephesians 2:7, Paul wrote, "That in the ages to come, He," meaning God the Father, "might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." And in Titus 3, verse 4, he wrote, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." What a marvelous God we have. One who does not give us what we deserve, give us what's coming to us, but one who gives us forgiveness and life and salvation and peace and righteousness and so much more because of His goodness and His kindness as seen in His Son Jesus. Our Lord is also patient and long-suffering toward us, not because He tolerates our sins, not because He condones our sins, not because He's powerless to condemn sin or punish us, but because He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's the second point of our text this evening, and that is, thank God. Thank God that His goodness leads us to repentance and leads us to life. As we know, the law accuses every one of us here this evening. The law shows us our sins. The law condemns every single person in this church building. All of us. None of us can escape God's unchangeable justice. For God clearly tells us, "The soul that sins, it shall die. There is none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whoever will keep the whole law and yet offend in just one point is guilty of all. The wages of sin is death. Nothing to be thankful there. But even as the law condemns us, His gospel, which is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us, His kindness to mankind in Christ, leads us to repentance and leads us to life. Jesus did live that perfect life of obedient love that we couldn't live. And He did it for you and me. Jesus did suffer damnation, the punishment for the guilt of our sins, for us, so that we wouldn't have to. And Jesus did suffer, die, rise again, to assure us of a resurrection to everlasting life. Yes, thank God. Thank God on this Thanksgiving Eve, and always, that we don't get what's coming to us, but that we do receive God's goodness, God's kindness, which leads us to life and salvation alone through Jesus Christ. You know, Thanksgiving really begins with our acknowledgement of our own unworthiness. And then it looks at God's amazing grace. Genuine Thanksgiving can turn our black and white days into an array of marvelous color, beautiful color, when we thank Him for the food we eat, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, the homes we live in, the jobs we have, the health we enjoy, and the loved ones that we live with, and many, many more blessings. All because He is our good and gracious Heavenly Father. True thanksgiving is, as Paul puts it in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." We pray. Lord God, help me remember to thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy today and every day. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.